This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. I believe we are in crisis mode with our Braves at 0-5. We are asking you what you think at 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Mike and I have been discussing the Braves. We had a great conversation with Brett Boone. You'll hear it later in the show as he talks about, look, he's still confident that things are going to turn around, and the season is too long for us not to believe that. My issue is, can we be consistent and competitive? Like, we haven't looked that way in these first five games, and that's concerning to me. And then, as Mike says, look, you can say all you want. Momentum is starting pitching. And if you're not rolling somebody out there that is going to give you a chance with a quality start, Mike, it doesn't matter how good the bats are if you're giving up 6-7 runs a night.
The year that we had the slump, never forget, guys, 23, we had that amazing hitting team. That's the year we went into the playoffs against the Phillies with basically 2.5 starters. Remember Strider had the injury? So, I mean, you didn't have enough pitching. And everyone goes back to how we were so miserable and just not clutch hitting. And, yes, that was true. But we also didn't have the pitching to try to keep the Phillies under 5 runs in that series. So we never have enough pitching. I'm going round and round with a listener right now on Twitter. Follow Carl. He's put him up. See Dukes on Mike Bell, ATL. And, you know, I'm defending Alex Anthopoulos because I'm saying what Alex can't. Terry McGuirk and the Braves keep him on this ceiling that he can't operate above. You got your championship. You expect this thing we're made of money? Well, yeah, kind of. But, I mean, you've got your 1-8. You got all your fielders locked up. And it's just we have this blind spot. We have this Achilles heel. We just do not spend for frontline pitching. We don't get the best middle relievers. We don't get the best starting pitching. We have to find great deals. Look, I'm not, you know, poo-pooing Chris Sale. That was amazing. But Ronaldo Lopez, that was a lucky get. And now we're without Ronaldo Lopez for a few more weeks. They just never let him get the things that all the elite teams would, yeah, the Phillies do. And there's no guarantee. I know if you spend the most money, you're going to win the World Series. But I feel like every year since 21, we've gone out there, Carl, with one arm tied behind our back.
404-726-0929. We're talking about it with you. Braves back in action tonight against the Dodgers. More on that coming up. Also, yeah, man, no man, a little bit later on this hour. Right now, let's get to 4th and 1. So Raheem Morris today said a few things, Mike, that we got to talk about. One of them being that he does not expect Kirk Cousins, who's currently on the team. And again, they're saying they think he's going to be on the team until something gets worked out. But this is where they've been all along. And we've been telling you they haven't come off of this. But he says, I don't expect Kirk Cousins to be at OTAs. I'm not going to be foolish to think that he's going to show up for voluntary workouts.
Right.
Why would he?
There's no reason. And we said that. He's not going to be there, and I don't think he's going to be there for the camp. But when he's pressed about what he'll think will happen, they say, conversely, they've got a great working relationship with Kirk, Carl. I'm paraphrasing. They think he'll be there, and they're still selling that it's viable to have him as the backup after all the stuff that's gone down in the last 6 months.
Yeah, this is one of the things that Raheem said. This is a quote from him. This is not a thing where we're holding him back. If the opportunity presents itself, it's something good for both of us. It's a good thing for the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. We'd certainly like to see that happen. But he feels like, hey, we're not trying to hold him back. We're just not going to give him up. And again, that guys, they paid him $10 million. We said it 5 days after the start of the new league year. It gave them the opportunity to say, hey, we don't have to do a damn thing. If somebody wants to come get him, they can come get him. But we don't have to do anything. We've already cut the check. That is kind of what Raheem is saying here. And he says, I know exactly who he is, Kirk Cousins, that is. There's definitely a human side. And we'd like to see him go out there and be, Mike, you ready for it? The best version of himself.
All right. I hate that phrase so much.
The best version of himself.
I mean, it's one that they use about – they use it mostly for Kyle Pitts. It's generally used about Kyle Pitts. The offensive coordinators use it. The general managers use it. And the coaches use it.
Best version.
You don't want to be the best version of himself. Look at the best version of Kyle Pitts. Get the best version. All right. I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with it. The phrase in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it because, yes, in a perfect world, we get the best out of all of our favorite players. We get the best out of ourselves. But it's, I don't know, the way that the Falcons use it, like such a go-to, it's just such standard. What's the phrase? Boilerplate?
Yes, it is.
And I don't want to hear it again.
Yes,
it's
it
just,
is.
It's wearing me out.
Yes, the best version of himself.
Yes.
All right, a couple of things from Raheem Morris. Also, as we've been talking about the Falcons and just kind of filling in some of the blanks here, he wasn't the only one talking today. Arthur Blank talked about releasing Grady Jarrett. He says, I mean, it was very painful. This is coming from Arthur Blank. You end up emotionally attached to probably almost, you know, all the players in some form or fashion. Someone like Grady becomes a version of another child for you, in a sense, and that Arthur talking about Grady. We know that he was beloved, but guys,
I hate Grady.
This was a business decision, and I appreciate Arthur Blank feeling that way about guys who spent, Mike, a decade here.
Right.
I would hope that you'd feel that way for a guy who gave you everything he had for 10 years. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's business. But Arthur Blank owning the fact that it was a difficult decision.
But Arthur's also learned to never put himself in that situation where Julio will be a Falcon for life.
Forever.
If I have anything to do with it. And Tom was like, you know, you're really kind of wrecking me with leverage here on this deal. But, yeah, Grady was a consummate pro and a guy that's been a leader. Unfortunately, he was surrounded by so many awful players these last few years and just terrible quarterback play that eventually, and look, I think Falcon fans should be keeping one eye on Grady up in Chicago, wish him the best. Eventually, he'll be in the Ring of Honor.
Blank also talking about Cousins, saying, I think at the end of the day, what happens will happen. Maybe something pre-draft, post-draft, I don't know. Arthur Blank talking about the Cousins situation. But he understands what our needs are, and he understands what we have to do as a franchise. So this is where we are, guys. Mm. Let me tell you where we are. We're in the same place we were 2 months ago.
All right, the best case scenario, whether it's the Cleveland Browns or something weird happens, maybe Rodgers does wind up going to Minneapolis. Then the Steelers maybe come calling, and maybe the Steelers have more of a sense of urgency about this than the Browns do.
Yes.
Because they're not picking as high in the draft, and the Browns, if they want, can get Shedeur Sanders. You know, but again, this we'll talk more about that in a second, because I know you're hot under the collar about this Shedeur Sanders you know, hate. But as far as, you know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, we're going to have to spend, guys. We're going to have to give, and I thought Bill Barnwell, if not for the seventh round pick, I think the economics of the deal made sense. We're going to have to spend, basically, to get rid of him. We're going to have to eat three quarters of that contract, right? $25 million out of 37. The other team picks up the 12. And can you please give us a nice draft pick? Maybe a fifth rounder, please.
Yeah, look.
And that's probably as good as it's going to get.
I don't think you can go into the, if anybody's calling and saying, hey, we're potentially interested, you have to listen. And then whatever the offer is, you can't have the huevos to say, no way, we're not doing it. Like,
right.
Because you're just holding yourself back from getting out of a situation that's not tenable, in my opinion, about moving forward the way this team needs to move forward. And again, I need Michael Penix, Mike, to have all the confidence and all the backing as possible as we get through this situation. And I'm not telling you that Kirk Cousins would wreck the quarterback room. I don't think that's what would happen. But why even have it? I mean, like why have your ex-wife in your house if you don't have to have your ex-wife in your house? Seriously. Like, it makes no sense.
Right. No, so, I mean, but this... But this is why, okay, so down in the owners' meetings, you heard the coach say, we feel that we can have him in there at camp and we'll have a – you're not going to have it. There's no way Kirk Cousins is going to be in that camp. We talked about it when you were on vacay with Ovi Mihaly about it. BMAC said, yeah, there'll be a combination. There'll be some guys will be in their feels. Other guys will be like, I could care less. Kirk being Kirk, like I said to you last week, Manny being Manny. I'm not saying it's going to be like a toxic situation, but it will be weird. And the media will be asking a lot of questions about it. If you think that's a distraction, it can be.
I do, but I do think guys ultimately want to see everybody get their money, and they know the sacrifice that goes into being an NFL player. Do you think all this hype about Stephon Diggs is real? Like, you know, the Patriots, first of all, they had a lot of money to spend, and they spent it accordingly. Mm. But Diggs' impact, I don't know, Mike, if it's going to be what it was at his height when he was with Buffalo.
Right.
And then, you know, he goes to the Texans, and listen, he was trying to do everything right by the Texans, and then ultimately gets hurt. But now, you know, they signed him to be like Drake May's go-to guy. I just don't know if he's going to have that kind of impact.
He had some amazing years, 1,200, 1,400, back-to-back, 21-22. He combined for 21 touchdowns those two seasons. What I think, close your eyes, not if you're driving. I think Stephon Diggs coming up short on that perfectly thrown Josh Allen pass to beat Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting into it, griping on the sideline, being that diva wide receiver. Like, it just is what it is. I mean, the optics, remember then before McDermott and those guys traded him? You know, I had a decent conversation with him, and I heard you got into a shouting match, and he went home. Well, no, he had some personal stuff to attend to. So then they wind up trading him to the Texans, and as you said, he never came to fruition because of the injury. So I think he can still be okay, but I think he'll be the same thing DeAndre Hopkins is.
Okay, that's a good comp there.
Right. With good, but not great.
Yeah, with Diggs. By the way, the NFL is updating its uniform policy, too. Did we mention this? They're going to allow teams to wear throwbacks or alternate uniforms up to 4 times per season.
All right. If we can get on a win streak in those red helmets, let's stay with it.
Yeah. Well, Big O's in there, you know, doing the money, the Johnny Manziel money thing that he used to do. Yeah, because it's more merch. I mean, you're obviously going to want whatever jersey or uniform that they're bringing back. But, Mike, 4 times per season? So what did we say? You like the red helmets, right?
I would go the uniforms we rocked with the United. We had the cover behind overtime victory over Tampa Bay when Kirk Cousins set the single game passing record for the Falcons. Red helmet, black jersey, white breeches with a stripe down the side. That would be my Falcon uniform. I think Nike was basically asleep at the wheel with those uniforms they came out with 5 years ago.
I agree. We're going to see. You know, the Falcons will certainly let us know.
Dolphin, I know a lot of Dolphin fans say they would love to be back in their throwbacks all the time. The old school Dolphin. You know, that logo's meh. There's a lot of teams out there that I think nobody wants to see. Was it Patriot Pete, Chris? Is that what they call it? Or Patriot Pat, whatever his name is? The old school Patriots unit. Remember Steve Grogan in those unis?
Oh, yeah, the old Patriots.
But either way, I love our retro uni. I wish we made that our number one uniform.
I'm with you. Also, as we talk about news coming out of the NFL meetings, the method for measuring first downs in the NFL is going to switch.
Zoom. Using a laser.
From the chain gangs. To camera-based technology in 2025.
Mm.
The league announced today the traditional chain crew will remain on the sidelines as in a secondary capacity. So we'll still have them there.
Right.
But, Mike, they're trying to move forward with technology.
Yeah, it's always great to have overweight 65-year-old guys tripping over the chain and then having to untangle it. That just makes perfect sense. Yes, it's called the Sony Hawkeye technology.
Okay. All right.
Begin. Laser.
You like this?
Well, you can't shoot the laser through the lineman's leg. I guess. I mean, that would really hurt if they use a really high energy laser. Like, but yeah, I know that we've seen a lot of these mark situations where it's all a moot point if you're never spotting the ball at the rights. But to me, it doesn't really help if the side judges can't spot it correctly. But they will be using this technology.
All right, that's going to happen. I mean, again. Little incremental changes.
Chips in the football. Points on both points and on the laces should be the simple solution.
I keep thinking, why can't we do this? I mean, right. We got chips in everything else.
Right. They got chips in the uniform, in the players' uniforms. You can see the telemetry for the Amazon stuff.
It makes no sense. One last thing as we get to, we're talking NFL. It's our 4th-and-1 segment, guys, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. They are going to, again, have Christmas Day games. A Christmas triple header. Including games on Netflix and Amazon. We do not know because the schedule has not been released. We know that's going to happen after the draft, but we do know that it's happening again. Let me help you, NBA. Get out of the way. Right. The NFL, 3 games, Mike. And again, we talked about this streaming. You know, if you don't have Netflix or Amazon, you're not watching these games, right?
Man, it's King Kong. I mean, you can't mess with King Kong, bro. He's got nothing on me. And if we're talking about the NBA, they have taken it over. You know, all the top 50 TV shows you guys know are NFL games. And it's funny because now they can flex those Amazon games. So late in the season, Amazon Thursday will be a lot better than it has been the last first 3.
All right, more on the Falcons coming up. Mark Romani is going to join us later in the show. When we come back, though, friend of the show, Mike Lutzenkirchen, is going to join us. Lutzy43 is the foundation. He's a friend of the show. You know, we were talking about George and what's been going on there with the driving situation, and Kirby's addressed it. He's got a driving summit at Morgan County High School that he's giving on April 4th. We'll talk to him about all that and much more. If you're unfamiliar with the story, stay right there. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man, we also need to talk about nepotism. Huh?
Oh.
We will at 4 o'clock. Stay here. Right now, we want to say good afternoon to our friend, Mike Lutzenkirchen. The foundation, Lutzy 43, has done amazing work, not just here in Georgia, but around the country. And, Mike, it's good to have you back on. I know you got a lot of stuff happening here over the next few weeks specifically. And, listen, you know, Mike and I have talked a lot about what's happened at Georgia with the driving and safety. And I want you to at least first tell the story for those people who don't know, because we don't assume that everybody knows the story of Philip and what happened and why you do what you do. But then we can talk about where you're going to be and how you can help people. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Colin, Mike, great to have talk to you guys and having me on. I really appreciate it. You know, I sure there's a condensed story. We're up here in Lassiter, Lassiter School District, up here in Marietta, and Philip's my only boy out of four kids. And unfortunately, after he had a wonderful career from 2009 to 12 playing football at Auburn, national champion as a sophomore, two-time captain, short run in the NFL, we lost him in a single vehicle crash as a passenger the summer of 2014. And I highlight the word crash because what the kids' decisions were that night, they were all drunk, they were speeding, they were out well after midnight. The one young man that wore a seatbelt survived the crash. We created the Lutzy 43 Foundation to do all we can to try to eliminate roadway fatalities in the state of Georgia, the Southeast, and across the U.S.
And certainly, guys, as we know today, and I'm trying to pick on younger people, but, man, attention span and some of the things I see on my drive home every day, I know Carl as well, just gives you pause. So basically the idea behind it is to get folks to think about what they're doing before they get behind the wheel.
That's right, Mike. You know, if you look at it in our country and you ask people, no matter what their age is or where they're from or driving experience, what's the image or the symbol that they look at triggers them to be a smarter and safer driver? And the most common answer we get from teenagers, quite frankly, is blue lights behind them. Well, it's probably too late at that point. Adults are driving distracted, and this is a general statement. Not everybody's doing that, but we've got way too much of that going on. So, Philip Ward, number 43, last name's Lutzenkirchen, Auburn fan base, nickname Lutzy, L-U-T-Z-I-E. So we call it a program. We call 43 Key Seconds. And what it is, it's 43 key seconds that's on a key. We typically put somebody's logo, whether it's a high school, college, corporation, or an association on the back of that key. It goes on a lanyard. But most importantly, we created a 43 key second checklist that says before you start your vehicle, ask yourself, do you have a clear head, clear hands, clear eyes? And then we tie into the 20-year program of click it or ticket. And not to take you through all the details, but what does a clear head mean? It means all of us ask ourselves, am I drug impaired, alcohol impaired, fatigued, emotionally impaired, or technology impaired? If you're any of those, we've got to have the courtesy to everybody on the roads to step back and say, I'm not ready to drive.
I'm proud of what Mike and his family, he's got an amazing family, and certainly the foundation has done. They give scholarships. They have great partnerships. Mike has spoke all over the country, by the way, to almost every major university and certainly all SEC schools you could think about when it comes to this, because as Mike and I tell you guys all the time, our listeners, this isn't just not here. It's happening right all over. And so let's talk about where you're going to be and what's going on with April being National Distracted Driving Awareness Month.
Yeah, you know, that's put on the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, the National Safety Council. It's just a month-long awareness to say, hey, if we do something deliberately for 21 straight days, it becomes a habit. So I encourage the audience, you know, put down that phone and do it for 21 days. You'll be amazed at hop picking that phone up and realize you can receive a call hands-free in most vehicles now. You can respond to a text or an email when you get to where you're going. But I guess the sign to us guys, we're succeeding. We're in our 11th year. We've got our 9th anniversary golf tournament coming up on May 8th. But this week is pretty big for us. We start tomorrow at Kennesaw Mountain High School in Cobb, Osborne High School on Thursday, and over at Lassiter where the kids went to school on Friday. And we host our 9th annual Cobb County School District K through 5 Elementary School Adapted PE Field Day. Philip did so much for kids that were born with mental and physical challenges, or unfortunately they got cancer. These 3 days, it's from 9:30 to 11:30. You'll see over 700 kids in total at the three sites, is having a great day on the turf football fields, going through 20 different field stations, high school kids from each of the schools coming out and loving on those kids. And we strongly encourage the incredible faculty members that watch over these kids Monday through Friday to take a break and let us watch over these kids. And it's just spectacular. And you know, the public here is invited to come out to those three schools. But also on Friday, we'll be in Morgan County at Madison, Georgia, delivering our 28th five-hour safe driving summit. It's a five-hour event. We'll start out with a 75-minute keynote where it's an all-student assembly, 1,000-plus students at the school, and then up to 400 kids are going to rotate through four very impactful 30-minute breakouts. And it's done in a wonderful partnership with the Georgia Department of Transportation, who foots the bill on the entire event. But we're going to put these kids in a simulation of a teen coming into an emergency room, a trauma center. What if you survive that crash, the trauma center and surgeries, what does rehab look like? So we've got WellStar and Children's Atlanta going to be there, experts to say, here's what we're going to do to do our best to get you pre-crash mental and physical capacities. We've got every level of law enforcement in Georgia. So this event will have Georgia State Patrol Motor Carrier Compliance Division. We'll have the Morgan County Police Sheriff and Madison Police. They're going to take these kids through what they're seeing in their respective jurisdictions of teen drivers. And the fourth breakout, we'll have three 80,000-pound tractor trailers in there with America's Trucking Association, America's Road Team Captains. These are drivers with 2 million-plus incident-free miles, and they're going to be leading these kids through what are blind spots around these big vehicles.
Right.
When you pass us, what side to do it at? What are stopping distances? Because the reality of it is, guys, us light vehicle drivers are the ones causing 79% of the crashes involving these large tractor trailers.
It is a Mike Lutzenkirchen with us, guys. If you want to get involved, get more information, go to Lutzie, that's LUTZIE43.org. As I said, I can be doing a better job behind the wheel most adults can, but I think so many parents out there, Mike, they dread those days when the kids get the learner permit and then they're getting behind the wheel. So this is a great idea to get everybody a little more education before they're actually doing that.
That's right, Mike. You know, we're not too far away from Memorial Day when that will be labeled Memorial Day to Labor Day, the 100 deadliest days of summer where we've got more teenagers driving, more teenagers going to the beach, going to practices for summer sports, just out having fun. So we're going to try to do all we can to partner with the Georgia Department of Transportation, Governor's Office of Highway Safety, and other entities. But we really need, you know, the private sector, corporate help to help us really change the narrative. Because here's the reality. You're going to see it come out shortly here. We just exceeded 45,000 roadway fatalities in this country. And they're caused by crashes, because crashes are behavioral choices. We don't have to be losing any lives. Philip lost his life because these kids were drunk and got in a vehicle at 2:30 in the morning, weren't wearing seatbelts, were super speeding, weren't familiar with the country roads they were on. That wasn't an accident. It was a crash because it was poor choices. So, you know, we're doing all we can. It's going to be exciting, quite frankly, to be south of Athens with everything that's going on at UGA,
right,
in particular with football. We've got some people on our behalf that have tried to reach out to some leadership at UGA to say, hey, come on and down and see what this event is all about. You know, I've spoken twice over the last 10 years to UGA football, once under Mark Richt's regime and one of the first speakers Kirby brought in. And I truly believe what we're doing with 43 Key Seconds, we can help make some changes in the behavior of some of the kids making poor decisions that have been given the luxury of these free vehicles because of NIL. There's just a lot we can be doing together.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've said numerous times, I know Kirby's doing a lot to try to get awareness to his kids. Before we let you go, my friend, I want to ask you, they are the number one overall seed in the tournament. Is Auburn going to get it done with Bruce Pearl in San Antonio this weekend?
You know, what a lineup, right? What, first of all, Neville Arena East came up to Atlanta over the weekend. What a show out.
It did.
But I'll tell you what, to see the teams that are making it down to the tournament, any one of these teams could win it. But I like, if Auburn's healthy and Auburn controls players' emotions and they play unselfish like they did Sunday in Atlanta, I like their chances. You know, Florida's going to give them a big front line, and boy, I know we're going to do a good job of guarding that guard that just seems to light it up in the last 3 minutes of a game. But it's anyone's game, but it should be pretty exciting.
It is. It will be.
Right on.
And, Mike, we appreciate you. Again, give the website again for people who want more information. And, guys, you know, this is – if you have teenage kids, trust me, this is something you want to check out. It's so helpful. And Mike's been doing this, as he said, it's their 11th year. And I remember when he started and we were like – how do you get this off the ground? And he's done an amazing job, and all the folks that have contributed and helped. Give out the website one more time.
Yeah, it's Lutzie, L-U-T-Z-I-E, 43.org, Lutzie43.org. And you know, my final closing comments to the audience out there, if you're a leader or you're passionate about the company you work for, we could be doing more from the private sector, working with the public sector to make our roadway safe. I'd encourage you to go to our website, learn about what we're doing with 43 Key Seconds for corporations, and give us a shout. We'd love to come in and try to help you through my son's story and life.
Right on. Hey, Mike, great to catch up with you again, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much. Mike Lutzenkirchen here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. If you're just joining us, we've been talking a lot about the Braves today. We lost again last night. And also coming up, nepotism. What? Stay there. We'll get into it. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks back in action tonight. Got to get a dub against these Portland Trailblazers. They're not that good. But that doesn't mean anything. They lost to the Trailblazers the last time they saw them in Portland. We'll talk more about that along the way. More about the NFL annual meetings that are going on. And all the stuff that's coming out of there, including some of the rule changes. Competition committee's been busy, man. Rich McKay's been busy, Mike.
Yes, how about we have instant replay reviewable in case the refs screw it up? Because, you know, it does sometimes flip the field, becomes a really big moment in a game. You know, it's bad enough we can't figure out what a catch is anymore. It's just
what's a catch?
I mean, that's the fact, that's where the NFL, you know, and the thing is, what's so funny, they can screw up everything, and the viewership just goes up. The ratings go up.
That's true.
I mean, and if you go back to, how long ago was that? That's what, 2012 with Dez Bryant?
Yeah,
the catch, no catch with the Packers, I want to say. I'm just guessing that off the top of my head. I think that's the year. But, you know, Megatron, the end of the end, back of the end zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, all this kind of legalese, you know, I always say when a referee needs like three paragraphs to explain what's going on, something's wrong with the rules.
It's too much, man. But there is a lot coming out of it. And one of the things that people are talking about, Mike, today, and I'll mention this, we'll get to Yeah Man, No Man. Jerry Jones blatantly disrespected Micah Parsons' agent. Now, yeah. David Mulligetta.
You're friends with him.
Yes, he's a Texas dude. He's crushing it from the agent business side of things. He's also the guy, don't blame him, that did the Deshaun Watson deal, okay? But he's done a lot of deals. And Jerry Jones today was talking about, you know, Micah Parsons and basically said, oh, the agent? Nah, that's not a concern. I don't even know his name. And everybody's like, David is one of the biggest agents in the NFL now. What are you talking about? So Parsons then tweeted out, facts. David is the best, and I will not be doing any deal without him. Like anyone with good sense, I hired experts for a reason. So Parsons goes in after hearing Jerry today down there at the NFL meetings basically say, oh, Parsons' agent, man, it's not a big deal. I don't even know who this dude is.
David, what's his name? Mufalata?
That's right.
I like a good Mufalata. I'm not concerned. We'll do the date, whether his agent is. I've worked with agents my entire life.
That's right.
That's right, Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. By the way, we said this though. Who's the highest paid non-quarterback now? Who is it?
Miles Garrett.
Not for long.
Right.
It's going to be Micah Parsons. I don't know if they do this now, Mike, or they wait until the season's over next season, but we will see. All right, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today?
It's all about the details, gentlemen. I am going to play a clip for you from Diana Russini, the Athletics NFL insider. Pay close attention to the middle of the clip.
Okay.
She says something that is very revealing about the Kirk Cousins situation, and then I want your reaction. Let's take a listen.
They still have so many questions at quarterback, which brings us to Kirk Cousins. Is that a real thing for Atlanta to trade Kirk to Cleveland? From my sense, yes.
Wow.
I don't know how far along it is right now. I just know there's enough smoke around this and enough conversations being had that this would not be a surprising move. Knowing Kevin Stefanski coached Kirk Cousins when he was in Minnesota, it makes a lot of sense on why that would work.
Okay, in the middle of that, she said, quote,
I was lost in the music, sorry.
Enough conversations are being had.
Enough conversations are being had.
So where do we stand on this? Did she just reveal that the Browns and the Falcons are
talking?
Well, somebody, I don't know if this was just nonsense, Carl, but somebody did the math and used some GPS, and apparently the Chipotle he was at is very close to the, I guess, the doctors that they use for their medical. If they were going to go do get a physical for him.
Look, I want to believe this is what's going on. Nobody is talking about it because this isn't going to happen until after the draft. And it's not going to happen until after the draft because Kirk Cousins doesn't want it to happen until after the draft. But I also think that the Browns and Stefanski, this is what's crazy. Like, you talk about, you know, sending part of your regime to go talk to Abdul Carter. Right. He didn't work out at his pro day, but they did meet with him. And then, you know, you send your head coach to go see Jackson Dart's Ole Miss pro day. I mean, I want to say they're still looking at all of these quarterbacks, and that's why I said yesterday, I am not convinced completely that this happens, even though I agree with Diana that it makes the most sense. But Turtle, I understand what you're saying. Like, we're trying to dive into this soundbite and say, wait a minute, did she just reveal they are discussing this privately and this is eventually going to happen?
Is Kirk going to screw us with this deal? And literally, as Chris just alluded to, we're not going to be able to get anything for him for this draft? I mean, look, I get it. You came to Atlanta because you thought you were going to be the man. They drafted Penix. They blindsided you on that one. So be it. But, I mean, come on. Get over it, for God's sakes. Let's just get on with our lives. Don't be so petty over this. That's why it's so hard to get a read on this guy. What is he? You know, is he the genuine aw shucks guy you see on quarterbacks and the guy that we spoke to a couple times out of camp? Or is he just a vindictive turd?
I don't know. I just think he wants to dictate the terms of how this ultimately plays out for his best interest. And I hate
to
say,
but there's only so many places he can go.
No,
at the end of the day.
Yes, he's limited, but those limited places, he's still going to try to dictate the terms so that he doesn't feel like he's in this same situation. The way you do that, unfortunately, is you wait till teams draft their quarterbacks.
Right.
And then as that shakes out, you go, ha, I see where you're at. And even if Cleveland takes a quarterback, I will tell you guys this. Don't think that that doesn't mean that this deal still doesn't happen. Cleveland's not going to take a quarterback, Mike. If they don't take one of these guys at
in the top one or two, right?
Right, and they take one with their second or third pick, it still doesn't mean that they're not going to bring in Cousins. So,
but again, you know, as you said, and we talked about this, you've always felt, you know, it's going to go down to like sometime in June, yeah, pre-camp, and there'll be somebody who doesn't get what they want in the next, you know, month or so. And then, you know, he'll go, but it's just, man, it's just so damn aggravating. But you nailed it. He's going to want to have control of this. At 37, though, there's nowhere you can go and there's not going to be an heir apparent.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, that's a pipe dream. If you think, like, what are you going to be? You're going to be Tom Brady? I don't see that happening.
Well, see, that's the thing we talk about, and not to take time, Chris, because I know this is your segment. But with Aaron Rodgers, Mike, he's looking at J.J. McCarthy on the bench. If J.J.'s there, J.J. says if they bring him in, he wants to be traded. The point is, there's none of these veteran guys that are going to go and a team's going to completely commit for the next 3 to 5 years. That's just unrealistic. Usually, we're looking at 2 years for either Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, but you're right. That's the situation in Minnesota. Guess what? If Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, you know who he's looking at? Mason Rudolph.
Come on.
There's a big difference there. Anyways, I think, Turtle, to your point, I think this is I'm going to say, yeah, man, I do think they're talking.
Yep, but it's just a matter, as Carl's always pointed out, it just, unfortunately, it's probably not going to get us that draft pick we want for 2025.
I hate it.
Well, here's the thing, guys. As I always say, being a good executive producer means I tee you guys up and then you guys go right off on and running. That's my job. Yeah. All right.
It was so. I'm not. You know what? I'm going to be good.
I want you to say it.
It was the stupidest.
Will you let your feelings out?
It was so freaking dumb. Just draft Penix. There, I said it. Back to you, Chris.
All right. Let me see if this could get you guys to go to a game. Coastal Carolina is breaking out all the stops for their first home game of 2025.
Are they going to have those girls that were at the baseball game that were taking selfies of their butts?
Well, that would certainly be enticing. But
very hot co-heads at Coastal Carolina.
Who knew?
Are
the selfie butt girls going to be there?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty zesty.
The other way to a man's heart is through food. And that's what CCU is trying to do. They unveiled their new CCU kickoff meal deal for the Chanticleers. Those who buy tickets to games will be able to enjoy free food every time they visit the concession stands. There's a catch. You are limited to the following items: hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and soft drinks. Anything else, you will have to pay full freight. But you can go as many times as you want during the course of a game and get unlimited hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and fountain drinks.
Okay. I mean, a lot of guys, they lose money on some of the guys I know. Big Ray.
Yeah, man. Well, simply put, yeah, man, no, man. Is this a good tactic to get you to go?
Yeah, especially for young college kids.
Yeah, man. Free? Everything? You can get unlimited trips for hot dogs, nachos, popcorn.
With your game ticket?
With your ticket.
That's a hell of a deal.
It is, man. Like, that's honestly, it's genius, to be honest. Like, more, I'm surprised more schools haven't done this. What are you really losing? I mean, what's nachos cost? $2.50?
Well, I mean, the price, I don't want to get into the people's pockets, but I mean, yeah. I mean, pizza's probably the cheapest thing to make.
Yeah.
You know, is there a slice of pizza involved in that? Because that's really inexpensive.
No, it's just those four things.
No, it depends on where you get your hot dogs and what are they using for the meat.
That's true. Don't get into that discussion.
Now, obviously, Uncle Arthur only uses premium hot dogs at Mercedes-Benz.
I love the hot dogs at the Benz. But yeah, Chris, yes, this is definitely getting me more excited to go. I don't have to spend extra money. As many trips as I want, I can try all of those items for nothing.
I mean, hot dogs, I'm a simple man when it comes to a ball game, whether it's college football or pro football. I just hot dog and a popcorn and beer, it's all I need, man. Throw a beer in there, then you're really going to make some money. You'd lose some money. Obviously, the beer, you'd have to have like a nickel beer night, like the old Indians brawl games. What do you think, like $10 all the beer you can drink?
Yeah.
Dollar beer, Natty Light.
By the way, was there any deals when the Savannah Bananas came into Truist? Were there any deals at the concessions? I'm curious.
I don't know if you talked to anybody who went. I didn't have that in Guy Talk yesterday because we had a million things going on. But
it was great.
A lot of folks do feel, though, that Savannah Bananas, it gets a little lost in the bigger ballparks and the intimacy of being down there in a minor league park, whether it's Gwinnett when they came to, you know, to Cool Ray Field. That might be the better venue, but everyone seemed to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting because with the minor league ballparks, you feel like you're on the field, right? That's
closer to the action. Right?
But some of the stuff that they do, you probably literally can't see if you're high up, because some of the stuff that they do with the pitching mechanics and bringing stuff onto the field, it might be hard to see if you're in the.
Well, I'm just asking. You brought the show here, right? Did they lower the concession prices to minor league prices?
No,
I'm just curious.
They did not.
Okay, all right.
I saw a few banana-themed items, like banana drinks and banana food items they had
in
people's pictures.
All right. Yeah.
And for those of you wondering, the Chanticleers are in a bit of a dive in terms of their football program. This may be
Coastal?
Some incentive. Yeah, they were they peaked in 2021 when they were 11-2, and they've had a worse record each year ever since.
Okay.
So maybe a way to try to get the fan base.
Trying to get some interest? They don't have no NIL money?
No, it doesn't look like it. All right, real quick before we get out of here, Mike may need you to break out an impression here.
Okay.
The Shark has weighed in on TGL, giving it some high praise. Greg Norman said in an interview with the Palm Beach Post, private equity now has true value in the world of sport. It's happening all around the world. It's happening in cricket in Australia and India. It's happening in other places. And I'm just so proud of the fact that it's happened to golf, where billions of dollars are being moved into golf because of private equity.
Yes, but millions of billions of dollars being moved into golf call that no one's watching. Live golf, man. Couldn't pay me. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to with the Masters coming up. We have one more week and then Masters week. And by the way, Carl and I will be at Twin Peaks in Augusta.
Yes.
And can't wait for that. It's going to be a blast. Is seeing Bryson DeChambeau, seeing, you know, even though he's not the most animated guy, Dustin Johnson, all the big names from Live Golf.
Sure.
We'll see over in this thing, in the tournament, you know, an event. Unlike any other.
Yes.
Well, after the first year and the Atlanta drive taking home the championship, I'm wearing the hat right now, actually, as a matter of fact. Do you think that league is going to have some staying power? I think if they learn the lessons they needed to learn, some of the stuff that Mike has pointed out over the last couple of weeks, I think they have themselves set up for some success here.
I do think that it has the ability to grow. I asked Mike this question last week.
The numbers are okay.
Yes.
They're just they got about $1 million for the Tiger Rory match, and they averaged just between 840. They're doing better than like drag racing. They're doing better than some of the college basketball games. They're doing okay.
It's got the ability to grow. And Mike and I have to kind of discuss this. What does it need? What is it lacking? They need to kind of reevaluate some
things. Need David Faraday is what they need. Well, virtual golf had averaged 502 viewers per outing, and that apparently exceeded what ESPN was selling the advertisers. So that's good news right there. They just need David Faraday. They need somebody loose and fun. Nothing against, is it Matthew Berry? I always mention that. They just didn't know how to present it. Is it tongue in cheek? Is it, you get the microphones, let these guys cuss and bleep it. That's why I say edit it. edit it down, make it like a 90-minute package. And that's really perfect for like a younger viewership.
I do look, I didn't watch enough of it to fall in love with it, even though I love, you know, the PGA. But I do think there's something here. And what that means long term and how it looks, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, it may look completely different and feel different. But I get it. Man, look, you get a little bit more of their personalities, Mike, and this is what golf has been missing. Mm. You don't get that when these guys are playing majors and you're following them around, and this allows them to show their personality. Why do you fall in love with the golfer? That's why. He may play well, but part of it is you feeling like that dude's cool and I know who he is, and this allows that.
Yeah, Billy Horschel, I think, was the star of this year.
Think about that. I mean, he made the left-handed shot in the tournament, and then it goes on, they win the $9 million for that. Good job.
It was.
I mean, like I said, I
like Horschel.
I don't know if I'm the demographic for it, but I mean, there's nothing else on TV. I'm watching it, but they want more than that. They want, obviously, want to get people coming back week after week.
All right, I ran out of time, so we'll tee it up for Mike and Guy Talk. I'll tease it. Speaking of golf, somebody did something that a lot of people are not happy with today, and it involves a very poorly planned April Fool's prank. Michael discussed that at Guy Talk. I'll fill him in.
Okay.
Or and hit my music.
I like when he produces my segment. That means less work for me.
Hey, man, coming up, it's not nepotism. He can play. And it just so happens that his dad's on the staff. Let's not rush to judgment here.
Okay.
We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.